Hey, welcome to the Eve edition of The Unpresentable Parts. Hosts Samantha Neptune and Jasmine Cherry kickstart the dialogue where silence ends. Every episode dives into the experiences that define us as women, celebrating our diversity, depth, and dynamism. With Samantha and Jasmine, your voice matters. Ready to be a part of the conversation? Let's get started.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jasmine.
And I'm Sam.
And together we are the Unpresentable Parts podcast, the Eve edition. So, hey, ladies.
Hey.
And we are a podcast where we will discuss the unpresentable parts within ourselves and within our Christian faith, the things that have shaped us and made us, the things we're growing in. And we are coming from our own perspectives here. We are women of color. We are Black women, but we know Blackness is not a monolith. So we will go ahead and share from our perspectives. And maybe some of you may relate or not relate, but we hope that we just have a great time to laugh, to really think inwardly, and hopefully find some resolutions in God. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Sam, take it away.
Okay, great. So today, I am so excited about what we're doing. We are actually going to go way back to the beginning, and we're going to be talking about Eve and how we experience her in our faith from our perspectives, and just societally, what we say about her, how we view her, all of those different things. So we're going back to the Eden experience. And very excited about that. But before we begin, I would love to just kind of talk through and ask you guys to think this through. But for us to talk through what's unpresentable about us today? How do we come here? What is our unpresentable part today? So, you know what? This morning, I have to say, I feel really good. I don't feel like I'm necessarily coming to this space feeling a whole lot of, I don't know, down or anything like that. But I will say the last few days, it's been rough. I think that I just really struggled this week with just a lot of not feeling good enough, not feeling able, just a lot of depressive thoughts this week. I just felt like I was in a serious battle. And I don't know if it was coming into this podcast. I'd been studying out Eve and I just felt attacked all over the place. But I think for me this week, it was just really hard to hold on to the light, to be honest.
Yeah. So,
That was it for me.
Man, thanks for sharing that, Sam. Okay. Can I share two things if that's okay?
Yeah. Oh, go. Girl, do it.
Okay. All right. Because one is, I feel like, is progress in an unpresentable part that I'm growing in. So I was like, all right, amen. Maybe making progress. And another one, I was like, Lord, just please take the wheel. I don't know. And it happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. So the first one has been within marriage and communicating with my husband. When we have difference of opinions, sometimes it can be very hard because I'm trying to convince you to feel how I'm feeling or to see how I'm seeing things, especially when I feel like I'm like clear or that I'm right, or, you know, that I'm like, why would you see this any other way? That's so horrible when I say that out loud. But so I do feel like this past weekend, we had a marriage retreat in our church. And it's so funny, right? It brings out these conversations and certain things that certain maybe beliefs or different types of cultures within Christianity was kind of the topic. And so as we were discussing, I can tell my husband was trying to be Mr. Fix-It, which that's what he said he's doing. But it's very interesting. But I felt like what would normally happen that's unpresentable is that I would want to start kind of withholding my heart. I want to kind of give him the cold shoulder. I kind of want to have distance because I'm like, I'm mad at you. So like, don't touch me, don't whatever. And it wasn't necessarily a matter of life and death situations we're talking about. But sometimes I can carry things as like everything to level 7 through 10 sometimes. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. So I'm like, damn, it's a level 2 sometimes or whatever. So I felt like it was such progress for us in our marriage that on my end, I did not do that. I was not petty. Okay. Because I am Miss Petty Crocker, Petty Betty. It's just in my nature to want to like do stuff like that. So I really have to work on that. And so I'm like, all right, amen, God. Like, I'm not being petty. I'm like, we are disagreeing. We're not going to see eye to eye. You know, it's not a matter of life or death. We're going to be okay and move on to the next thing. So I was like, amen. So that was one. So I felt like that was an unpresentable part I'm working on.
Okay.
Then the second was, I don't know if all 7 demons were in my daughter yesterday, but like I was like, we got to get to daycare, girl. We got stuff to do. And so it was really hard of trying to parent, right? And and so I'm trying to communicate with her, and I'm also trying to figure out what's my line before that wooden spoon comes out. Stay. Then I'm trying to, but I'm also just trying to give space as I'm looking for work. I don't have to be at work at a certain time. However, I still want to keep a certain routine. And so I allowed us to have about 30 more minutes to deal with this, because I noticed with my daughter, when she does not leave the house in a good mood necessarily, or we don't have a resolution with things, it carries into daycare. And on Monday they said, hey, your daughter is starting to hit. She's starting to do these things, because on that Monday morning, it wasn't a good morning that much, right? And so it carried into her day. And I'm like, oh no, did she hit a kid? What happened? What's going on? And, you know, it can feel embarrassing, but I mean, there's teachers, they dealt with that. And she doesn't act like that all the time by any means. But we're not about to have a repeat of Monday, little girl. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So just talking to him, but I just felt like I was all over the place because I needed space, and I'm trying to learn how to like not come at her angry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know how I can get when I get angry. So I'm trying to take my breath, and just within me trying to do this whole process, and I probably said some things I wasn't supposed to say. Not like, I don't know. I was just trying to get it together so I can help her through it. Not trying to be rash or not I don't know. It was just a hot mess. But then I feel like we came with it in the end. We made a resolution. I said, babe, we had a rough morning, but what are we gonna do? She said, we're gonna turn it around. I said, right, we gonna
yes.
Okay. I said, well, just because we had a bad morning, the morning's not over. Okay. So I felt like it all came together, but I just felt like if someone had a camera in our house, they'd be like, girl, I'm struggling. I'm just trying to figure it out.
It gets rough, right? It gets rough. And I think I really appreciate you sharing this, because we have so many moms who are listening, and it gets rough. And you show up to that daycare looking all put together, maybe looking all put together, or looking disheveled, maybe. But I appreciate sharing that. Oh, this is embarrassing, but to even recognize your daughter's patterns so you can help her, because I think that's such a win. So in your unpresentable part, I want to give you that win, girl. You recognize your daughter's patterns, and you're helping her early to not feel shame about it, or to feel like she's, you know, to recognize that she can turn it around. So I really love that. That's a great way to segment into what we're talking about today. Like, things can be turned around. So I just really appreciate that. So for the first part of our time today, we're going to focus on just the first woman of faith. And I want to ask those listening, when you think of Eve, is that what you think of? Do you think, oh, that's the first woman of faith? Because that's not typically what we say when we talk about Eve. Right. You know, I've watched these TikToks and I've heard people say, wait, was the fruit that good apple? Was that apple good? Was it that good? Oh, I've heard the old, you know, it wouldn't have been, the childbirth wouldn't have been this bad. And if you would have just done it right, you know, like I hear blaming and shaming Eve. So when I think of Eve, and when most of us think of Eve, I don't know if that's the first, if we think, oh, the first woman of faith.
Right. No.
What do you think? Like when you think about it, just when we first talked about discussing Eve, and I love that we're discussing Eve because that's, you know, our podcast is Unpresentable Parts, Eve Edition. So we thought it important to go, let's talk about Eve, you know, if we're going to be her namesake to some degree. So what did you think first, or when you first, maybe not in this year or this month or this, but prior to really digging into your faith and exploring Eve, what were your original thoughts of her?
Well, one thing that comes to mind, Sam, was there's this, I don't know if it's a meme, it's a little video that talks about when I get to heaven, this is how I'm going, this is what I'm going to do to Eve. Right.
Oh.
And it shows it's at a basketball game and there's a man walking and it shows a teammate, maybe a basketball player, coming up after, about to attack him. And so this is a bad rep. They're like, man, when I get into heaven, I got some words for Eve. I got some hands for Eve. And so, but honestly, my first just through my space, things that I've learned even before making that decision to become a Christian, Eve was definitely the doom and gloom, is what I learned. Like, she was the first woman, you know, on the planet, but she's the one that started it all. And that this is where we're here. Like, she's the one to blame. And I kind of feel like she got like a bad rep, kind of like Judas. Kind of feel like it's those certain people in the Bible, which I know we'll talk about later, but it's just kind of like she stained everything. So, and this is why we get bad period cramps. Those were the things.
Yes. The bad period cramps, the bad everything.
Childbearing.
Well, today, I think as we're talking about Eve, we want to talk about her not as Adam's plus one. She wasn't just his plus one. She wasn't just his sidekick. You know, that's not who she was. And she's, you know, she's the very first. She's our first and the only first woman. And so I just think it's really important for us to go back to her blueprint. And there's something about going back in that story that would be really good for us, because really her story is a masterclass in handling the spotlight. How would we handle this situation in our internet generation? You know, we see things happen all the time where people are posted on the internet and just, you know, they're one mistake, they're one indiscretion, they're one thing. And most people can't handle that. You see what happens. It's actually not good. It's not pretty. The directions people go to and go through when they feel shame. And so here's this woman handling the spotlight. She is a masterclass in that. Really, her every decision is now the benchmark for us, the benchmark of the complex and the laying down the complexities of being the first. She is it.
Yeah.
And we can learn so much from her versus shaming her. And so, you know, talking about being the first, I do have a question, because I think as a woman of color, and I think you talked about that in the beginning, yes, it's not a monolith and it's not, this is not everyone, but I know my experience, your experience. So as a woman of color, have you ever been the first in a situation, in a role, in a space, both in your faith and in life?
Yeah, absolutely. For the most part, all of my job experiences, professionally speaking, I've either been the first one, the only one, or one of the few. And it can definitely be hard, especially depending on the type of job that you're in. My most recent job, working for the judiciary, right? So you're with the people who are making these big decisions about your life. And I'm in some of the, not those necessarily decisions, but as I'm a part of different committees and we're trying to change work culture and things like that, being that voice, and sometimes it's treated as the token Black woman there, Some people can acknowledge the authenticity and the benefits of having my voice in the room, but it can also feel like I'm the representative for every Black person in this space. And it can be a lot of pressure. Yes. Mm-hmm. And especially when I lived in Kentucky, a lot of my jobs, I was the only Black person there. And it can feel lonely. You feel like you're being looked at. And I've even had some things said, you know, that I know they wouldn't say to other people that look like them, particularly about my appearance. And so stuff like that, you know, that can really mess you up. But I've definitely, been the first or one of few.
Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that. And it's so funny, Jazz, when you said that. I had a lot of firsts, right? Because coming to the U.S. as a foreigner, coming here, coming to Orlando, Florida in the 80s, going to the 90s, it's a very different Orlando than it is today. On the east side of town, where that was predominantly, honestly, for a long time, more lower income, KKK, trailer park. You had a lot of that. And so that came with it, not being stereotypical, but that's really what it was when I was growing up. And so there were some mindsets that were there as well. And so I remember at my high school, Colonial High School, being the first Black Valentine Queen. It was the first time they ever had a Black. And here's the amazing thing: after that, the next year they had a Hispanic Valentine Queen.
Okay.
Yes. But it was like opening that door, but it was the things that came with that. And that, honestly, I didn't really understand what it meant to be the first at that point. That I was, there were some conversations about it. We're like, girl, I can't believe they did that at Colonial High School. And I'm like, really? I didn't understand it at the time. Mm-hmm. But as I think what you communicate in my current life, in my faith, being the first. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I work in the ministry. Mm-hmm. I work in the ministry in New England. And it's in a lot of ways, especially I became a disciple in New Hampshire. I was the Black girl in my campus ministry. I don't know necessarily if I was the first, but I believe I was the first to become a Christian up there in my tribe, in my family of churches. And I will tell you, I really appreciated the woman who studied the Bible with me because she recognized it. And I want to give her credit. That she was a woman who she was in touch, and she did it so sensitively. She studied the Bible with me, and she said, you know, I really have a vision for you. I really feel like I think you can do ministry. I think you should do ministry. Is that a dream? Yeah. And I remember her, this white woman, amazing, who became a really good friend of mine, that saw me. She saw that I was the only, and she saw that I was the first. And she said to me, I remember her taking me to a conference, and she took me to the conference. And then at the time, there was a Black woman, Joanne Weber, who is now in Los Angeles. But she was at one point in Boston, and part of our church family of churches. And Joanne was speaking, and the woman next to me, who was mentoring me at the time, she said, I know how important it is for you to see yourself in someone else. Mm-hmm. And there aren't other people here who look like you in this role. Wow. And I want you to look at that woman and the power she has and how she comes across. She goes, I see that in you.
Wow.
It makes all the difference in the world for me.
Yeah. This one, how long ago was that?
1997.
And you see how much that impact still moves your heart. Like, I love that.
It meant everything to me because I felt seen. Mm-hmm. And it came from someone who I wouldn't expect to see me. And it's the importance of those allies and recognizing the first. And I appreciate that about Eve, because she could have had many stereotypes about me. She could have had many, you know, but the first in that situation, I was just really appreciative of that. So I think it has not always been being the first has not always been that great.
Right.
But I appreciated the positivity of that one.
Right. I think sometimes too, with being the first, you're not aware of it because you're just living life. You're trying to break through these different opportunities. So sometimes it doesn't hit you, like you said, till after, and you see, wow, you know, when you think of, you know, we just had Black History Month, but when you think of these things, sometimes people are aware they are the first to do mm-hmm. things, but sometimes it's like, you're just trying to be human. You're just trying to live your life. You're trying to be just treated fairly as everyone else. So you don't see it as something new. You're like, this is just how it should be. And you end up being the first one. And that's a lot. So I appreciate that she saw that and recognized that. And honestly, I loved how you said New England, because a lot of folks think this outward racism and things like this are in the South, you know, mm-hmm. and it's everywhere. It's everywhere, right? It has bled. It's everywhere in different countries, different whatever. But I think sometimes in North, right, can get the innovation, or we're all, you know, outward thinking or liberal. And it's like, or sometimes people think that of California, right? It's just so liberal and all of that. But a lot of the same issues, especially when it comes to racism or colorism or things like that, are out there, and they still bleed into our church.
Yeah. I love, it's true. And I think as we talk about Eve being the first and having this polarizing thing, I think it's recognizing that within our family and our tribe and within our relationships, that a lot of times people of color are still experiencing the first. You're still hearing the first Black woman for this, the first Indian woman for this, the first, you know, we're still experiencing first. I think it's really important to recognize that. And I can identify with Eve being that first and that polarizing, that spotlight, and having to manage it.
Yes.
I do want to talk about Eve's original design, because in that being the first, I don't want to just come into situations just seeing what people see. I want to come into situations seeing what God sees and what He designed me to be, because I think that is a thing in my faith that helps me to manage being the first, and that helps me to manage it in a way through the lens of my faith. Kind of going back to, what is my original design as a woman with God? Because we have the layers, right? We have being a woman,
right.
And then we have being a Black woman. And there really is a layer that I think men who live day-to-day life, many white women don't experience this. I have one island Target, you know, if I go to the right Target on the right side of town to get hair products.
Mm-hmm.
People don't actually, on a general day, realize how difficult it can be. Thank God for the internet, right? But there are certain towns I can't go to and get products. It's important to understand that I have got to see my value and get my value from God. And so Eve is really the first woman of faith and the original design that reminds me, this is what God created me. So with Eve, go ahead, Jazz.
I was just thinking, like, again, in the perfect world, right, that this is how we will be seen, right? How God designed it. And I'm glad we're, you know, uncovering things and learning things about this, because if we just have to take it back to, God, right? If we're trying to serve God, we're trying to be like God, this is how God had intended things to be or who we are. But I was telling a girlfriend the other day just how much sin destroys. And because of sin, not just even not talking about Eve in particular, but just sin over the generations and how shame and guilt and how the stereotypes, all this stuff kind of kicks in. So I'm glad that let's strip it all, because there are these layers. It's Christianity, it's right woman, being a Black woman, being from the West Indies, all these things, right? So I just love that we're doing this, and that we can just acknowledge that how things are currently isn't always what God probably intended or wanted from His people.
Yes, because when He designed Eve, He designed her perfect. He said, it is good. It's good. Mm-hmm. And I think So here's the kicker, though. So, but of course, because of sin and the idea of man, Eve is not a man's idea. Eve was created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. As he is about Eve. Eve was not, you know, a construct, a social construct, but society is about Eve. And so in all of that, we've got to go back to God created Eve to be a helper. Ooh, girl, when you hear that word helper, how does that, what trigger did you get? What trigger did you get?
You know what? Honestly, I think just through my years of now becoming a Christian, I understand more, right? But I think sometimes I can still have this, like, I can think about what other people think when they hear helper. Mm. Like, I know what it is now, but like, I'm like, ooh, okay, just because I want to make sure you got this right. So my mind can sometimes be thinking about other people, like, make sure you know, okay, all right. So like, everybody needs to come correct, or, you know, they need to learn. So sometimes that can be my current response, but, and then you just can't help it from the world. When you think of helper and you think of servant, but you think of those things in such the opposite way God made it to be. Right. So helper can come off. Sometimes I even think of the movie The Help. Right. So,
girl, me too.
You know, the helper, you're just there. You're not really a crucial part, although you are. But like, you know, you're just disposable, too. You just think of help, the helper, whatever. I can find somebody else to do this, or, you know. Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that, Jazz, because that when. I wish I could tell you, yes, I know it's different, but I experience what you experience. And again, because I have learned to have wholeness in my faith, and I'm still learning because I used to compartmentalize it, right? In this space, I need to be this. In this space, I need to adapt to this. You need to code switch, not just in your language, but in your actions. And I am learning to be able to speak about faith in a way where it's authentic. This is how I experience this. And it may not feel comfortable for you to hear it, but it is important for me to share it. So with Eve, this woman is being seen as a helper by society's construct, by societies where she can be bought and sold and treated however, whichever way, because she's just disposable and a helper. And, you know, you said something that really struck me, and it struck my nerve because I feel it to this day. When I come into a room or when I come into a space, I am seen as a Black woman. Mm-hmm. Eve is seen as a helper. Yeah. And she, you know, in a lot of ways, if Eve were here, she'd need to defend what that meant. She'd need to, and she can come off a little bit, you know, like, whoa, why are you so defensive? What's that, you know? But she's coming into a space where people have perceptions of her. All right. And that's how I connect with Eve in that sense, is going back to, no, but that's not how God created. I need to remember this. I can come into a space and I can feel like the only thing that's seen is my Blackness. And I have to soften it for someone or teach them. And so coming into space, I think it's important to go, well, what does this have to do with faith, Sam? It has everything to do, because my whole identity is in Christ. And I have to find people in the Bible that tether me back to Christ. And Eve, I can relate to her being seen as this one thing, this one dimensional thing. And because many spaces I go into, I am first seen as that until someone digs deeper. I'm not afforded what many of my white sisters are afforded. I'm not. Mm-hmm. In the initial being that I could be anything. I have lots of potential, you know, but I can come in as this one thing, expected to behave mm-hmm. in this one way, and I'm going to be scrutinized in this one aspect. So anyway, I just really appreciate you saying that, because that, I wish I could say that we're different, but I still feel it. I still feel it. In my role, in my spaces. And so I just think that's important for even anyone who's listening to go, look, that's not a negative thing. That's acknowledging it and seeing, okay, here's this woman who's seen as a helper, but God created her to be what is called an azer kenegdo, a suitable helper. And the term helper is not this assistant.
Insignificant.
Yes. It's not insignificant. It's not assistant. It's not the world's idea. It's God's idea. Yeah. It's not this image that the world has, that man has, that other women have. It is what God intended. And he intended her to be a woman who was an equal with opposite power. That's what an azer kenegdo is, a woman with an equal, I'm equal, and we have opposite power to Adam.
Right.
Yeah. And in our society, it's the same thing. We're all equal as women. Yeah. We were all designed to be this, to be suitable helpers, to be equals. So we can get it really twisted, and the enemy has had such victories, right? Making it men against women.
Yes, he has.
But we actually, I want to put that aside and go, no, it's not just men against women. It's women against women.
Yeah, we can do that too.
And we lose that part that, guys, we should be helping each other, encouraging each other. Remember, guys, this is who we're intended to be. We're ride or dies. Yeah. You know, we are intended, we are created by God to have the backs of the men in our lives, whether it's our sons or husband, whatever, but in our relationships with women, because we're equals, we should be that for each other too.
Right.
Like
you know what,
like my mentor was for me.
What came to mind too, as you were talking, and I heard someone say this about how women, this was in an approach to dating, but I do think it is like this in many areas, is that women, how men can come from a, what is it? Like a plentiful mindset, right? The sky's the limit, and how women can come into things with a scarcity mindset. It's not a lot of us, and especially not a lot of us Black women, right? That's what we think. And so it can pit us against each other, or we're trying to fight these things when someone is telling us that there's only, you know, room for five. But it's like, we can accept that. And no, it's room for all of us, right? We all have a seat at the table. We all should be able to support each other and see that it's us against the sin, not us against each other, right? Not us against men. Right. That's why some people think feminism is like, you know, bashing men. But no, it's that's not what it's about. And those are some of the thoughts that came to mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that, because the conversation, you're right, it always goes to women want this equality, women's rights, women. And we just lose this crucial part. He also planted a seed of women against women. About scarcity. Yeah. And God says, God gave us all the same role. He's men or women. He said, rule over the fish, the birds, you know, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And he gave us all the same role. And there's plenty of work out there. And I just, like I said, I think my nexus point of this for me and my faith is really my mentor showing me that there's plenty, and that I see you, and I'm for you, and I'm with you, and I will, and we can be that for each other without diminishing, without assumptions, without, you know, seeing the full potential, because we see how God created us. Like God created you to rule the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. He created you to be a ride or die. He created you, you know, to be a helper at eye level. You know, like we're not walking around with our head down. You know, he created us to help each other, you know. And I really think we lose sight of that because society has told us different. Like kind of what you said, society has told us there's not enough. There's not enough space. There's not enough room for everyone. Society cancels us real quick, you know?
It's like
to our church. Yes, go for it.
Like I asked my husband today, I said, even as you are talking, right, of the truth of how God has created both man and woman, right? to both do such powerful things. Not one is less than the other, right? Mm-hmm. I love how you say that. And I said, Greg, when's the last time you've heard a message like that? Out of your maybe what, 15 years, maybe being devoted to God, all the churches you've been a part of, when's the last time you, as a man, do you ever recall hearing anything like that? You know, and he couldn't even really fill up five fingers on his hand about that. And I think when those things aren't being preached, right, when those things aren't being talked about, and not just to the women, right? We can try to just only leave these things to the women, but when they are spoken about as God literally spoke, right? This is what it is. I feel like if we can do more of that in our specific fellowship, I can't speak to others, but I do think maybe that can help make a difference. So we don't get some of this worldliness, you know, I mean, it's inevitable, but you know what I'm saying? We can make some progress when those things are preached and everybody hears that.
Yes. Yes. And as you say that, it is that same thing. There's plenty of room at the table, right? Because it comes back to women being able to feel welcome at the table and to be a part of the table, to have a voice at the table. Because like you said, for men, it's not just women need to hear this. This has been the fight, though. Men have been hearing it. What I do believe, men have been hearing it for years, for centuries. Mm. So it's not that they haven't heard it. What I do believe is women hold women back from the unity and the message, because we were created to really be at eye level with men. If we would unify as women and not get in the way of, I'm better, I'm prettier because my hair is this, because I'm lighter skin. Says, no, I'm so for real. Society, again, strips us of our identity. And it's the enemy. Like, let's put it where it is, right? It's not just society. It's the enemy scheme. So if we can focus on, it's us against the men, and the men won't let us into the room. Well, honestly, many times we shoot ourselves in the foot because it's us against us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this. There are many things that I'm going to go in deep waters here. And these are things we can discuss a lot more later. I have always told my husband slavery would have never lasted as long as it did if white women fought for Black women.
Yep. I totally see that.
And it's a conversation. It's a conversation. Sex slavery will not. It would not be as pervasive as it is if more women fought for the rights of women.
Yeah.
And there is a pitting against, there is a judging, there is a looking the other way. There is a, this does not affect me as women for women.
Right.
And so I say all of that to say is if we would remember our original design, there is so much we could do together. There is so much we can foster for each other, and we can help. We can actually do what God intended us to be and have that opposite and equal power that helps shift the balance of power with men and women. Mm-hmm. But the disunity, a group divided won't stand. And I think these are conversations that are so important, but once you start having them, it's easier to get into all the divisions. Colorism in the Black community, you know, disparities between white and Black women in the job market, in the you know, you still have the first Black model, you know, you still have the first Black in Vogue, you still have the first, you still have those things.
Right.
But if we would be ride or dies for each other and realize there's enough space, you know, I can't help but talk about the Beyonce thing. I'm not advocating Beyonce. I'm not all of that. But I think here's a classic one. First Black woman to for the country charts, to top the country charts. But there are many stations that refuse to play her. That refuse. Right. Why would she come here? I really appreciated Dolly Parton coming in and saying there's plenty of room.
Yeah,
it's great for everyone. And I just, you know, it's that kind of, there is room for all of us. Let's go back to our original design. We were created in the image of God to rule everything. And there's a lot, God wouldn't tell us we have all this, we could, if there wasn't enough to rule. There's more than enough for all of us. And it's just really important, but I'm going on a tangent, so I'll let you pull us back.
I left this thought about the Eve being kind of, well, not kind of, the first woman to be canceled, the cancel culture, right? That is so prevalent. And it makes me think, okay, if, as we talk about, well, if I was in Eve's shoes, right? We have the Bible, we know the story. Something that really helps me to get grace, because once you know all that you know, right? Eve did know all that we know, right? So to be that first, I do think, like, wow, was she really hip to what it meant for someone to try to trick her? Did she know certain things, right? Like, if she's the first, she is dealing with the first time she's having this type of interaction, you know?
Yes.
And so that helps me to, like, okay, I can see, because it makes me think of my toddler, right? She's four. If someone was trying to trick her, they could probably trick her, right? Because she hasn't had that experience that I have now as an adult, where you can kind of see it. Sometimes you can't, don't get me wrong, but sometimes you could tell, like, all right, looks like a duck, quack like a duck, you know? So
yeah,
it helps me give her grace, but she is kind of like that scarlet letter, forever, to be forever stained because of the decision. And yes, she did still make the decision, but it helps, you know, the Bible doesn't fully say all the thoughts that she's thinking, right? So, but I'm like, okay, the serpent is like, you know, you will be like God. You will, you know, you will know good and evil. And to your naked ear, you're like, that sounds great. Of course I would like to know, well, like, what's the harm in knowing that? But, you know, you still need to obey God. He still says no, and trust, for whatever reason, that he still has your back and you still have everything. I'm like, I'm sure there were plenty of trees, right, that it had, that was bearing different types of things to eat, you know? But, right, so it helps to give her some of that grace. But I could see how after, right, it's hard to come back from that. And especially the consequence, right? It is such a big consequence because of it. So I think because of that, maybe that's also why. But it's like, she really, I think society, I'm not sure as the earth was starting to populate, if people gave her that side eye. But I definitely know, shoot, that mess happens today, for real, she would be canceled. And I don't know how she would come back from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that, Jasmine, because you said the grace, the word grace. We don't have grace with each other. And as women, oh Lord, we definitely don't have grace with each other. And so obviously I'm not, that's a blanket statement, but we can be really hard on each other. And I just think it's true. It was her first time going through that. No one else had done it before her. And this is another reason why I love Eve. She's one of my heroes in the faith, because I can learn from her.
Right.
Her deficits, her mistakes, I can learn from her. And it also helps me to see just the grace of God, even how he loved her. But I want to go back to what you initially said, her first time being tricked. Because she was tricked. Mm-hmm. And we need to put the blame where the blame is, right? The disunity with women is because of the enemy, the trickster, the liar, the father of lies. It's because of him.
Right.
The disparities in race, it's because of him. Let's
stop up in this room now, Stan.
You know? and that's important, because we can lose, again, if we go back to Eve and remember this woman, what happened to her, yes, she made a decision, but it had something that happened prior to her making the decision she made. She was tricked. Right. He came in, and it was like the very first time that he introduced, did God really say? Like did God really say? Those four words are pretty intense.
Yes.
Because when you think about it, as women today, isn't that what we're gonna, is she really as good as you? You know, does she really deserve this? Should she really, you know, it's that he is still, the first thing he did was create doubt.
Right. Yes.
Am I really good enough? Do I really belong here? Mm-hmm. Am I really loved? It's not the voice a lot of times we hear as women. Am I really? And so here you've got Eve, and he says to her, did God really? And in her defense, I'm feeling like she was like, well, yeah, he did. He did say, you know, that you will die, you know, if you eat the fruit. But then she did something that as women, we do. She engaged with this trickster. Mm-hmm. Where he came from, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know if she'd seen him before, but she engaged.
Yes.
Right. And I don't understand all of it. But she, in having the conversation, she says, and God said not to touch it. God didn't say that. Mm-hmm. He didn't say that. If you go back and read where he told Adam, he was very clear with Adam. Now, God didn't, from what I understand, didn't give the directive to Eve. He gave it to Adam. So I don't know if Adam added to her, don't touch it. I don't know. But what I do know is she had this conversation. And, you know, it makes me think of the scripture in Revelations where it says, whoever adds or takes away from the words of God, you know, like that, you don't be cursed with that.
Oh, yeah.
Eve added something here. She said, don't touch.
Right.
He got her.
Mm.
He got her. And we can do this as women. We can add things that God didn't add, because the world says certain things. We add those things in it. We have to be careful. What is the original command? What is the original design? What is the original?
Right.
What is it? That is where we get our directive and our blueprint. This is the original blueprint. This is what I follow. This is what God says. This is what I do. Not what man has added.
Right.
Not what the world has added. Because what's been added is what the enemy will use to cause my fall. Because when she added that, it says, oh, and then it looked desirable. Isn't that what happens to us? All of a sudden, oh, girl, this looked good. You know, this is certainly real good. You know, and then the desire goes to, oh, I can touch it.
Mm-hmm.
I can pet that dog. Can I pet that dog?
Right.
I can pet that dog.
Right.
You know,
how far can you get without crossing
your legs? And now you are touching it.
Yeah.
And now you're eating it. And now you have sinned. And I think it says it in James. I believe it's James chapter 1, the 13. It talks about the pattern of sin, right? It's desire. And then it's acting on the desire. It's temptation, then and then acting on it.
Action.
That's what. Mm-hmm. And so we see that pattern with Eve. And as women, we go, oh, we out here canceling this woman, but she is a cautionary tale for us.
Right, right. Yeah.
She's
cautionary. Something that men and women do.
Yes, we can learn from her. Do not engage with the enemy. Recognize the voice of the enemy. Recognize the tactics when he's pitting me against my sisters, when he's pitting me against my brothers. Recognize the pattern, right? Mm-hmm. It's so important. But then also see, God didn't condemn this woman.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's how we take it.
He didn't condemn her. Yes, we take it that way. Mm-hmm. He didn't cancel her.
Right.
Why are we doing something God hasn't? Why do
That's a good question, better? Sam.
Yeah. Why do we think we're better than her? We are her.
Mm-hmm. We are.
We are her.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, something I was thinking about too is just, I love how you're like, let's put the blame where the blame is, right? Mm-hmm. It is Satan. We do have free will too of what we're going to do, right? God doesn't control us like that. But it makes me think of just how crafty the serpent is and how crafty still is today. Is that I was talking to my husband, like, all right, let's go over this word by word. What did the serpent say that knocked Eve off, you know, that just threw her off or whatever? And I feel like he came with the truth and the lie. And I feel like that's how you can deceive I think that's how you can get deceived a lot, because if there's a little bit of the truth in the lie, it's hard to know the difference. Like, huh? Well, I will know these things, right? But then, well, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's how we can get tripped up today, and why, you know, like how you talk about so much sin can look desirable, you know, and maybe to one point when you think about sex, sure, sex is enjoyable, pleasurable. So that's the truth about it. But what does mm-hmm. God command for folks before, you know, you get to that, you know, or so I was just like, wow, I have definitely gotten so tangled up because of how sometimes these lies are crafted, right? So I just thought I would share that tidbit of just like, man, that's how a lot of times we can get tripped up.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, I'm really inspired by Eve. I think over the years, as I've matured as a Christian, I see myself in her so much more. Wow. I have experienced many firsts. I have had to be in the spotlight, and it's really difficult how you navigate that, how you navigate the fall. I have fallen mm-hmm. in spaces where I have been the first. I've messed up, you know, haven't been the best example, haven't responded the best way. And how you live with that, I think what helps me is I look at Eve, God didn't condemn her. In fact, God gave her two sons. Yes. And yes, as many women experience today, she saw one of her own sons kill mm-hmm. the other. Can you imagine what that woman went through? The pain?
Nope.
Here we are polarizing her, canceling her. And I think, did she blame herself? Did she think, if I never mm-hmm. did this? You know, but God still gave her the opportunity to have children, you know, then in having children, one killed the other. But then he still blessed her through Seth, you know, her son Seth, who is kind of like the line we all go back to, know everyone goes back to, that brought us all the way down to Jesus, you know. And I just think he still restored us through woman. He's still like his value, his creation of us has not diminished mm-hmm. because we mess up. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't create something different and new and say, oh, well, that one was a dud, you know, let's get rid of that one. We don't have to create woman 2.0. He actually still used, he still used Eve. Even after she was tricked. And I think we have to remember that. The first thing we say about her is, oh, she messed up. Eve, you did it. You sinned. No, she was tricked. And we are constantly outwitted and tricked. We are her.
Yeah.
We shouldn't cancel her. God didn't cancel her.
Right.
We shouldn't polarize her biggest mistake, because none of us want, how would you feel? And think about it. The worst thing you've ever done, plastered on the internet.
Right. Right. For generations and generations to see, like Eve, and then like today with it, like I said, with the internet, with social media. And even when you do try to move forward, someone's always going to find some tweet from 2013 that you didn't say. To cancel you again. And it is so frustrating that we do that. And it's like, we want grace from God, but we definitely don't give that to other people, generally speaking.
Yeah. Yes.
And I can envision what, you know, he went through. You're right, right? With a son murdering that, like, it's just like, oh my goodness, there's so much. And in the shame, you know, I'm sure she had to battle fighting through all those things. Because even when I think before I became a Christian, and even after, sometimes I feel like I have more shame even after, because sometimes you're like, I know better.
Yeah.
I knew better. And I still decided to do whatever I'm doing, whatever I did. And it's like, man, there's hopefully another day, right? Where we go and we try again, or within that day, right? To how do I repent? How do I change this around? How do I talk to my toddler differently? How do I communicate with my husband? How do I love my neighbor? Whatever. And to kind of keep going. So I do admire that. You know, even Adam, right? I'm like, how did the brother feel? Like, do I even want to have sex with you again? Like, they had more kids. Yeah. Like, do I want to,
now? You told me to say that.
But for him to have that forgiveness, that they are married, they're in it together, and that we are not our worst mistakes, that we can still turn it around, like I've talked about.
Yes, turn it around. What a great, honestly, that was a great beginning and a great segment out of today. I mean, it was really, I really enjoyed talking about this. I can talk about it for hours, but I do want to, as we're coming to our end of our time together, just really remind everyone who is listening, look, the Bible has the answers for everything, but God. It is always but God, in the midst of it, but God. And I have many conversations with different women from all walks of life. But again, I am a Black woman. I internalize many things. I see things through a certain lens. I'm not speaking for every Black woman. I'm speaking for this particular Black woman. And it may resonate with some. It may open someone's eyes to ask a question. Hey, do you see things this way? Do you struggle with that? I think that's what's going to bring about the not canceling each other so quickly in our hearts sometimes, maybe not verbally, but in our heart. Where we cease being able to communicate or even fellowship with someone in our church because we have a perceived assumption about them. You know, she thinks she cute. She thinks she all that. Oh, she's aggressive. Oh, she always mean mugging. We do. We have these things in our thoughts and our, you know, I know I do. So let's just be real about it. But I think being able to reflect on Eve and go, look, here's the first woman in the spotlight, the first woman of faith. Who had a royal mess up? Who was tricked and who experienced so much pain watching her own son kill his brother? Who had to endure? I don't know what the conversations were with her and Adam. If they can make it anyway, who in all of this did not lose the grace of God? That God used her. He turned her beauty to ashes. I mean, for her ashes to beauty, you know, and there's no mistake that is unredeemable. And Eve is, she is the spokesperson for that. There is no mistake. There's nothing we can do that is unredeemable and will make us unlovable to God.
Yeah.
That he will take our mess and turn it into a message. And so today I hope that whatever mess you're in, or whatever mess you have been in can become a message. Whatever test you're going through can become a testimony. And so as we move forward, remember Eve's resilience. Remember, she is the mother of who we are as women, and God created her. And he said, it is good. Remember who came in and robbed her of her identity, stole it from her. She was the first one to also go through identity theft. Let us not let the enemy steal our identity. Let us not cancel each other. Let us not cancel our sisters of faith, our ancient sisters of the Bible, but let us not cancel our sisters now. No mistake is unredeemable, but God.
Amen. Amen. If you all have any comments or things that you want to share that's unpresentable or concerning Eve, please comment. Message, please subscribe, visit our website at www.unpresentablepartspod.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Bye, everyone. See you later. Can't wait to connect again.